This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Good evening and welcome into SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell, taking you through the fastest 2 hours in radio each and every Friday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And before we get underway, we've always got to take time to recognize one of our premier corporate sponsors, and that is Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Seasoned chemical service veterans, longtime industry innovators, custom chemical solutions and services, and they are no stranger to every major Texas energy play. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, it is time to go inside the ropes. We're going to tee it up and head to the course, and always a true pleasure to open up the mic and welcome in. That is Larry Miller, who is a life member of the PGA of America, former PGA Tour player, author of 4 books on golf and performance. And if you're looking for that last minute gift, you know what? Go to Amazon.com, Google Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, Larry Miller. It is a fascinating read. It's a fantastic read. And it's good to have you back on the program this evening. Merry Christmas, Larry.
Yeah, good evening. Merry Christmas to you, too, Alyssa, and to all your golfers out there. Happy holidays, and hope the weather's good enough to get a round or two in.
Well, I'm always thinking about our listeners out there, and I know the holidays, they are here, and perhaps you are struggling for that perfect gift, that last-minute gift. So, Larry, we need you to come to the rescue and provide some guidance on the ultimate gift for the golf lovers in our life.
Okay, well, the ultimate gift is my book.
That's right.
but let's move on from there to some other ideas.
Okay.
I think I came up with this idea years ago. I think it's a great idea. I get a lot of calls from people every year wanting to know what so-and-so's favorite golf ball is because they want to buy them golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, golf balls is always a great, great gift to give, especially if they're personalized. You can Any company that makes balls will personalize the balls for you. But here's a novel idea for you. Instead of getting a dozen of the same ball, what I like to do is get 4 sleeves of 4 different types of golf balls. Give that to the golfer.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a golf ball that fits every player's swing, and they get the most out of it.
We are Inside the Ropes with Larry Miller. We have to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be right back at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Happy holidays. We are going to rejoin Larry Miller as we go inside the ropes. Larry, we need you to come to the rescue and provide some guidance on the ultimate gift for the golf lovers in our life.
Okay, well, the ultimate gift is my book.
That's right.
but let's move on from there to some other ideas.
Okay.
I think I came up with this idea years ago. I think it's a great idea. I get a lot of calls from people every year wanting to know what so-and-so's favorite golf ball is because they want to buy them golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, golf balls is always a great, great gift to give, especially if they're personalized. You can Any company that makes balls will personalize the balls for you. But here's a novel idea for you. Instead of getting a dozen of the same ball, what I like to do is get 4 sleeves of 4 different types of golf balls. Give that to the golfer.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a golf ball that fits every player's swing, and they get the most out of it. You look for, you know, for durability, for distance, for control, for the way it spins. And so it's different for every golfer. And instead of getting the same ball, get 4 sleeves of 4 different premium balls. That will let them try 4 different balls, and they will be able to decide which one performs the best for them. So I think that's a great idea.
I love that, yeah.
To give. And then, you know, of course, training aids is always a really good gift idea. Things like the orange whip or a weighted club, you know, or a putting trainer, especially over the winter in winter months and the holidays when it might be cold where you are or rainy. And so a training aid will keep those golf muscles supple and flexible throughout the season. And so that's another idea for you is You know, and then another idea is a gift certificate for a series of golf lessons. A golfer in your life who is struggling with their game or just wants to improve. And so find a good instructor and get a series of three or six lessons with that instructor for your golfer. So anyway, there's some ideas for you, and I think any golfer would be happy with any of those.
And I think, too, you know, just listening to you, Larry, those are all quality ideas and presents that will, you know, help that loved one, friend, whatever, in your life, you know, to motivate them to go out and improve their game if they don't spend enough time on the links, and you really want them to be out there, you know, teeing it up.
Sure, sure. And so it's just a way to keep the interest going and also keep the game going over the winter and, you know, keep those thoughts going about golf. Even if you can't play, you need to swing it somewhere, get in the basement or a big room somewhere. And you got to keep those muscles supple and flexible through the winter months, because when you start over in the spring, you don't want to have atrophied muscles that's going to take weeks to get back in shape.
Hey, Larry Miller is a life member of the PGA of America, former PGA Tour player. He is the author on four books on golf and performance, and he joins us each and every week at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. And so I got to ask you this. I mean, here it is. It's Christmas time. Have you ever taken, like, just a really lovely Christmas golf vacation? And you ever played in the snow?
Oh, no. Matter of fact, I have. I worked as a teaching professional in Racine, Wisconsin for a couple of seasons.
Really? Okay.
And I would get there typically, you know, in April, beginning of April. The season is April through October. But many times I'd get up there in April and, you know, it'd be snow on the ground. And sure enough, you know, there's guys out there and gals out there with orange and red golf balls trying to play in the snow. And it's kind of difficult because it depends on how deep the snow is. You know, I don't care what color the ball is. If it gets down in 6 inches, you're not going to find it. So, it's fun. And I have played over the, you know, somewhat in those conditions. But I tell you, I don't like cold.
Oh, no.
I'm just not a cold weather person. Golf especially, you know, your hands get cold, you can't feel the club, your muscles get constricted.
Your grips get wet.
Yeah, you got all these clothes on, you know, it's just not much fun. But you got to make it fun. And so you get out there and laugh at yourself and just be satisfied with bogeys.
Yeah.
An occasional par.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if you ever went to, like, Florida, you know, during the Christmas holiday to go play golf there. Yeah, because that's always fantastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We would take trips to, you know, down to southern or central Florida where it's, you know, warm, or Arizona, and keep the game going that way. But, you know, as you get older, you get more family and kids and grandkids, and it's harder and harder to leave and take those trips. You know, that was great when I was a single guy. We'd get four guys together and take off, you know, but it's tougher now.
It doesn't work that way. Hey, Larry Miller, the familiar voice, joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right. We're opening our show tonight. We are inside the ropes. We're getting you ready for the Christmas holiday. And, you know, Larry, just I want to back up a moment. We were talking about so many different gadgets that are out there, but this is really the time of year, I guess, if you're going to get a new set of clubs. I mean, Stephen, I say little, he's 16 and 6'1 now. He just ordered a new set of wedges, a 50, 54, and 58 degree wedge. So he's pretty fired up.
Yeah, it's a good time to reassess your set makeup. And as I've said before, you know, get your grips changed if you want to keep your
same.
Oh,
that's right.
Clubs.
Yes, you've mentioned that.
But it's a great time to get new clubs. Try some different ones out at a demo day or a golf shop that has an indoor facility where you can try them out. And, you know, they got all these machines now, the TrackMan and so on, that tells you which clubs are performing best for you, which shaft and what weight and all that. So it's a great time to do that because you can't play as much, and so why not spend the time in improving that part of your game, your equipment.
You know, last week when you were on the program, we were talking about golf fitness, you know, staying in shape during the winter months. But, you know, we love Seve Ballesteros, and he always talks about the single most important thing is your grip. And so I wanted to have a continuation of that. So let's talk about what are some of the ways, even in the winter months, that you can improve your grip. You know, when I've spent time around your wife, Connie, I mean, she's always working that grip and getting it, you know, just the way that she likes it.
Yeah, you know, we've got some clubs where, you know, you cut the shaft off 6-8 inches below the end of the grip, so there's no head on the club, just the grip and 6 or 8 inches of the shaft. And you know, you keep that handy and by your recliner or by your sofa while you're watching television, and keep taking that club and gripping it and re-gripping it and gripping it over and over again. it keeps your fingers strong. It also keeps your hands, you know, being used to being in the golf position, in the golf grip position, so that it won't feel foreign to you when you start again in the spring. And, of course, a good grip, you know, Ben Hogan said that good golf begins with a good grip. That was the first sentence in his book, Five Fundamentals. And it's true. It's the first fundamental. It's the most important one because the grip connects the golf club to your body. And if that connection is not correct, you're in for a world of trouble, and you're going to have to make compensations somewhere else, and that gets tricky, and it's not consistent. So you've got to learn a really good grip, a good neutral grip, where the palms are facing and perpendicular to the target line. That's what's called a neutral grip. And you want to strengthen that grip by continually re-gripping the club. One of those little hand strengtheners that you squeeze, too. Squeeze that with each hand. For right-handed players, I like to squeeze twice as many with the left as with the right, because you want to get that left hand really strong to match your right hand if you're right hand dominant. The left hand in golf, if you're a right hander, is the controlling hand. And so for a left hander, the right hand is the controlling hand. That's the hand you want strong and very supple and very strong in the fingers and wrist. So you want to keep that going. But anyway, very important to have a proper grip and to keep it strong all year long.
How do you determine what is the proper grip pressure?
Well, you know, there's just tons of information about that, and most of it conflicting. You know, you'll read where Sam Snead says, hold the club like you could hold a baby bird.
Yeah.
Others, like Arnold Palmer, say, no, get a death grip on that thing and don't let it go.
Yeah.
I think I like to strike a balance there, and I like to have a grip that's secure enough that the club doesn't move in your hands. You know, but yet you don't want to white knuckle it either, like you're on a flight, you know, with turbulence. You know, you want to just have a kind of a medium strength of grip to where you've got good control of the club, but yet not to the point that impact with the ball is going to loosen the grip. That happens a lot. If you see players with too loose of a grip, as soon as they hit the ball, the hands come apart, you know, or move position, and that affects the control of the shot. So you want to be secure with your grip and keep those hands strong.
Hey, great way to kick off our show tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Larry Miller has been with us as we go inside the ropes. And as I said, he is a life member of the PGA of America, former PGA Tour player, and his book that we've got to give a mention. This is our final show of 2017, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we look forward to talking to you in 2018. Thank you so much, Larry.
Great. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody out there, and you too. Thank you.
Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way right here in hour number one. We're going to be talking some NBA with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, happy holidays. Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio. And before we get underway with our next interview, we've got to take time to recognize one of our outstanding corporate partners and sponsors, and that is Innospec Oilfield Services. You know, in sports, great team chemistry provides the winning edge. And the same can be said for one of our show sponsors, Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Whether we are talking exceptional customer service or a complete range of value-added customer chemical solutions, check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, as promised, right now we are going to completely shift gears. We're going to take a hard right turn. We're going to head out to the wonderful world of hockey, and we're going to figure out what's going on in Washington and talk about the Capitals. Our next guest has just released a book and teamed up with our friends at Triumph Books, 100 Things Capital Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. We want to get the pulse on the Capitals, how their season is playing out, and so delighted to have with us Ben Raby. He is the Washington Capitals hockey reporter and writer, and this is his very first book. Congratulations, Ben. Happy holidays. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you, please. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, we are going to talk about your new book, but first and foremost, let's be timely, let's be relevant. Of course, tonight the Capitals will face Phoenix. They've got a big matchup, but we want to kind of get the pulse and the skinny on how the season has played out up to this point, because what I understand is the Capitals have won 4 straight and 12 of their last 15. They're hot.
Yeah, playing very well of late, no question. Interesting, because you look at the Capitals, given what they've been over the past few years a perennial Stanley Cup contender, a first-place team each of the previous two seasons, President's Trophy winners with the best regular season record. That being said, we anticipated a little bit of a drop this year with the Capitals just based on what was lost in the offseason. Six key cogs to the roster last year walked out the door, were traded as a result of salary cap limitations. So we actually anticipated some, you know, a little bit of growing pains this year, if you will, integrating a few rookies for the first time in some time in these parts. And that being said, it was a little bit of a sluggish first month, month and a half to the season. That being said, to your point, since November 16th, they've won 12 of 15. It's allowed them to move up the standings back in that familiar perch atop the Metropolitan Division. But I will say this, it's a little bit of a different feel this year. Not to suggest by any means this is an underdog team, but certainly not the team that they have been each of the previous 2 years when they ran away with the division. They won it comfortably by double digits. It's a different feel this year. And to be honest, as we approach Christmas here, a little bit of a mild surprise, I guess you can say, that they are back in their familiar perch atop the division.
Hey, we're talking some NHL. Ben Raby, who is the Washington Capitals hockey reporter and writer, he is also the author of his new book, 100 Things Capital Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. We're going to hit on that here in just a moment, but let's talk some more about this season, because as you said, there's been some twists and turns. You know, they hit some rough patches, and they had, the Capitals had some tough losses. So how have they been able to find success right here, right now? What's been the key to this stretch, Ben?
Certainly over the last month or so, we've seen a couple of things. Number one, we've seen the return to health for the team. They were a little bit banged up to start the year. They were missing their number one defenseman, Matt Niskanen, for 13 games in late October and into November. He's back right now. You have your minutes eater back there, and Matt Niskanen, number one defenseman, and sort of slots everyone into the appropriate places and not having to overplay some of the lesser lights, if you will. So the return to health and the return of Matt Niskanen has contributed heavily. And also, you look at your big boys, you look at your headliners. Alex Ovechkin is having a terrific start to his season.
He sure is.
Already up to 13 years in his NHL career. And here we are approaching the holiday break. He's leading the league 23 goals through 35 games. And this is after, I put this in air quotes, this is after he had only 33 goals last year. That's a great year for most for Alex Ovechkin. It's a little bit below what the career body of work would suggest, but he has bounced back very nicely this year and looking like his old younger self, if you will. But between the play of Ovechkin in the top line and the return to health on the back end, it's been a few contributors to the strong play of late.
Hey, Ben Raby, you're listening to his voice. He is the Washington Capitals hockey reporter and writer and also the author. And it's kind of interesting. We are based, Ben, we're here. It's your first time on the show, but we're based right here in Houston. And the Capitals, they were in the Lone Star State, on Tuesday as they faced the Dallas Stars. And this is a team, from what I understand, that, you know, they've had some issues with in the past, but they were able to come away with a win in overtime.
Yeah, one of those weird things, not even as if they've played every year, you know, just interconference opponents, and no matter who the players are, the coaches, the uniforms, even what arena they play in Dallas. This goes back to when they were at the old Reunion Arena.
Oh, yeah.
In Dallas. The Capitals have had a tough time coming away with 2 points in Dallas. You're right, they won in overtime the other night. They still have not won a game in regulation in Dallas since 1995, so it's been some time. That being said, yeah, they came away with the overtime win the other night. It was just their fourth win in 17 all-time meetings in Dallas, and again, still looking for that first regulation win since the mid-1990s in Big D, but nice win nonetheless for the Capitals. I don't think they much cared the other night whether it was in regulation or beyond 60 minutes, as was the case.
Well, Ben, here it is. It is Friday night, and the Capitals, they're getting ready for their second game of a four-game road trip at Arizona. I know they're anxious to get home, but they always want to, you know, finish a road trip like this very strong. How do you see this matchup tonight, and how do you see it ultimately playing out?
Yeah, it's the last place Arizona Coyotes team is going to be looking to snap the seven-game losing streak. That being said, the Capitals, again, I don't know what it is about going out west that they've had a tough time in Arizona before, even against teams in the Coyotes that aren't necessarily playoff contenders on an annual basis. So we'll see how it goes tonight. And it's an interesting back-to-back for the Capitals this evening in Arizona, and then the quick turnaround to face those pesky Vegas Golden Knights, first place in the Pacific Division. the best home record in the NHL, the 14-2-1 Golden Knights on home ice this year. So tough 2-2 here for the Capitals before the holiday break, but should be a good 2-2 here coming up.
You know, you're right. I mean, the team really was miserable at the start. I mean, it was the worst expansion team in NHL history. And as I understand, I mean, Ben, you spoke with many of the former players about that
experience. Yeah, as part of the book, you know, spoke to more than 60 former players, coaches, executives, including quite a few who went through those initial trials and tribulations. And, you know, some funny stories about the guys. I think they can, you know, four decades removed from it, they can sort of take a step back and laugh at it. I'm not sure that they were necessarily laughing in the moment, but some of the challenges that they went through, I mean, they were obviously not a very good team. They weren't built the right way. And that being said, when you look at the 1970s, you had a dynasty in the Montreal Canadiens. You had the Broad Street Bullies in the Philadelphia Flyers, who won back-to-back Stanley Cup titles in the 1970s. And very funny stories and anecdotes from some of the players about going into those cities, those buildings, the Montreal Forum, the Spectrum in Philadelphia. And it was funny, you know, the Capitals players, they would suddenly, you know, they'd come up with sniffles the morning of the game. Somehow they didn't want to have to go up against the big boys in the NHL, knowing the challenge that awaited them.
Mm-hmm. And Ben, it really is. Your book is the ultimate resource for true Capital fans. It is titled 100 Things Capital Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Was it difficult to rank 1 to 100? It's an entertaining book, but I mean, how did you go about categorizing them all?
Tried to spread them out a little bit. You know, there was a lot on Alex Ovechkin, for example, a lot of stories about the modern-day Capitals. Tried to space them a little bit, and you know, tried to space out the lighter and the more significant, if you will, and you know, tried to spread them out a little bit to keep the reader on the toes for sure.
Hey, it is titled 100 Things Capital Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Author Ben Raby has been with us. You can check him out. He is the Washington Capitals hockey reporter and writer. And my last question for you is Larry King. That is right. I mean, Larry King, he was part of the Capitals broadcast team way back in 1984. That's cool.
Yeah, I mentioned that would be an example of some of the liner there. At least. Digging and sort of stumbled upon that.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to find in researching the book and speaking to folks who were around the team at the time. Real quick, it's a funny story going back to 1984. Larry King at the time, it was pre his CNN days. He did have a nationally syndicated radio show, an overnight radio show, which he did not begin until after midnight. And that being said, he was in the D.C. area. That was home for him at the time. And he was looking for something in the evenings that would keep him up, get the adrenaline going, get the blood going, get the blood flowing, you know, keep him on his toes that when he had to do the overnight radio show, he'd be good to go. And he was a big sports fan. He remains a big sports fan. Season ticket holder there out west with the L.A. Dodgers. But at the time, he called up some folks he knew in the business and inquired with the Washington Capitals if they could use some help on their broadcast. And he did it. He wasn't paid. He did it on his own time. He did a package of 20 or so home games that 1983-84 season, and he would host the pregame and some intermissions. And they did it in the mid-'80s. This was a big deal at the time. Today, we almost take it for granted. They set him up in the concourse of the arena, you know, on a platform.
Oh, yeah.
There were fans behind him cheering and give it a little bit of a vibe and an atmosphere. At the time, it was a very novel concept. But Larry King was there, and he would do interviews during the first and second intermissions, be it with local media members or politicians, and it sort of gave the broadcast a little bit of credibility as well. It was, again, that's still a relatively young franchise at the time in their first decade in the NHL, but to have Larry King, it gave it sort of a big-time feel. Even back then, Larry King was a household name, and it was sort of funny in retrospect knowing, you know, he's interviewed nine U.S. presidents, and to think that he was part of the Washington Capitals broadcast back in 84. It was kind of funny to hear some of those stories.
Well, it is a feel-good book. It is titled 100 Things Capital Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. We've been visiting with Ben Raby. He's been with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Have fun on the call, Washington Capitals hockey reporter and, of course, writer. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben. Very interesting.
Thank you, Elise. Thank you very much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Happy holidays. Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. And before we get underway, always got to take time to pause and recognize one of our corporate partners and sponsors, and that is Innospec Oilfield Services. You know, in sports, great team chemistry provides the winning edge. And the same can be said for one of our show sponsors, Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Whether we're talking exceptional customer service or a complete range of value-added customer chemical solutions, check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, here we are in hour number one, and as promised, it is time for some NBA news and notes. And it's been a very big week with Kobe's jersey being retired, but we're going to open up our conversation and talk about LaVar Ball. He is the gift that unfortunately just keeps on giving, and he's always making the headlines. So we're delighted to have back with us on the program tonight, and that is our good friend Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. How are you, Mitch?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I just want to wish you and all your listeners out there a happy holidays and a happy 2018, right?
That's right. I can't believe it's already here. It's good to have you on the program. So the big news this week, LaVar Ball, he wants to start a league for elite, for top high school graduates that don't want to go to college. So what was your immediate reaction when you heard this, and what needs to happen in order for this league to be successful?
Well, my first reaction was I wasn't really surprised because look, this plays into LaVar, the master marketer, the guy who wants to, you know, keep growing his big baller brand, and that's why he's doing it. He also basically admitted, I saw some comments, that if this league were up and running, Lonzo wouldn't have gone to UCLA. And, you know, this comes off the comments, I guess he was going off the comments of the NCAA president, who said, you know what, to paraphrase, you know, we got some kids coming in who are good for college, or college good for them, but others who really shouldn't be in college. Mm-hmm. And LaVar was like, yeah, right. There are a lot of players, including maybe my own sons, who shouldn't be going to college because we all know they're just one and done, so they just might as well come in and play in a league where it's going to be like NBA rules. There's going to be a three-point line at the NBA distance. There's going to be 12-minute quarters. Not going to be salaries like the NBA. I think the top player is supposed to get $10,000 or whatever. I don't know how it's, you know, is it going to work? How it's all going to work? Who knows? I mean, it's interesting that LaVar Ball, apparently, according to Lonzo, his father's been thinking about this for quite a while. So it's not a spur of the moment thing. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of planning. It's going to take for them to find arenas. I know he wants to play in NBA cities. I mean, he's talking about right over here, Brooklyn being maybe a place where they would play. So it is interesting. I mean, when you just look at the whole landscape of sports and college, listen. And, you know, there are a lot of kids who we all know, they just go to the NCAA, they go to play at Kentucky, or they go play at Duke for 1 year. And, you know, I'm sure they won't be happy if LaVar Ball's league's up and running because it'll take some of the talent away. But it's obvious, kids, you know, especially NBA type players, they don't want to spend more than a year there. So at college, you know, they don't want to even go to college, some of these guys. So I don't know how it's going to work. I mean, you know, it remains to be seen. It's going to be interesting. He certainly stirs it up, LaVar Ball, and he's done it again this time.
Uh-huh. So how attractive do you think this would be to some of the young players?
I think some players it will be attractive to. I think other guys, you know, and it's hard for me to tell. I mean, I cover the NBA, so I haven't really talked to any players about this, and this would be more like, you know, if I was really more in tune with the college game and the college
right.
Kids, but
mm-hmm.
I think I'll be talking over the next few weeks to maybe some young players to see what they would have done if a, you know, Jason Tatum, who's had a great start for the Celtics, would have, you know, done this instead of going to Duke for a year. I don't know. I don't know how that plays with parents. I don't know how that plays with the kids. You never know. So that remains to be seen. It's a great unknown, but it's a real compelling story going into the new year. Not just because of the idea, but because LaVar Ball is behind it.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence is back with us at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation. You can connect with us live on Twitter at eRadio Sports and go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Connect with Mitch_Lawrence. So, you know, as we talk about this potential league, what about the NBA G League? What, you know, isn't this purpose already being served?
Well, the G League is a big deal for the NBA.
Right.
But, you know, you know, the players who come in after a year can go there. But, you know, this is a thing where players still, you know, the league wants to take in players after 1 year. Would it be competing with LeVar Ball's league? I guess I really haven't given that much thought. But the NBA is very excited about the G League. There are a lot of guys who've been called up. When it first started, we all kind of looked at it like, what's the NBA doing here? But it has served a purpose for a lot of teams. It gets kids who aren't quite ready for the NBA, helps them develop. Plus, you know, it's one of these things, too. You see this all the time where if a player is injured and he's coming back off an injury, whether it's a Jabari Parker in Milwaukee or other players, they'll spend time in the G League as a way to get more than just game practice in with the, you know, with the team up on the big stage. They're going to the G League to rehab. They're going to the G League to get their game in order to get the rust off and all that stuff. So the G League has served a purpose. It's very popular, with the NBA, and for those obvious reasons. So we'll see if LeVar Ball's league competes with that or not.
Okay, so we highlight the NBA G League, but the JBL League, what LeVar Ball wants to start, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, there's been some numbers thrown around about potentially what the players, top players would make, $10,000 a month, $3,000 for the lower ranked players. But, you know, where would this money be coming from? And I have to wonder, too.
I don't know.
Have you heard anything as far as, you know, the big baller brand? You know, what kind of money or revenue is it generating?
Yeah. Sorry, you know what? I'm out of the loop on that stuff. I don't follow it as much as I follow the NBA. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
But that's the big question, obviously, is, yeah, how are you going to outfit, you know, how are you going to start a league? Where's the money coming from? That's a huge expense, a huge undertaking for anyone. We've seen leagues start up and crash in different sports in the past, especially because of the finances. So I don't know. That's a great question and a great mystery. Maybe LeVar Ball knows, but, you know, you have to remember, too, even if a kid doesn't want to go to college, there have been examples, obviously, of players like Brandon Jennings years ago who went overseas and didn't go to college. He spent his 1 year, you know, before he came into the NBA, before he allowed to come in, playing overseas. So, will it affect that rather than kids going overseas? Those teams pay more money than $10,000 that LeVar Ball is going to pay. So that'll be interesting. All that stuff's going to be fascinating to see if he could really have the financial backing. Who are the backers for LeVar Ball to get this thing up and running? And not just running, but, you know, being a success, not just, you know, collapsing after a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you have to appreciate, you know, LeVar Ball. He has a lot of courage. He's not afraid to try anything. So right now, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say what I like about it is he's got Lonzo on the logo of his league dunking the ball.
I saw that.
Yeah. I like that already. You see that?
Yes, I did.
Great.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Let's move ahead. Hey, let's celebrate Kobe Bryant. Of course, the Lakers retired number 8 and number 24 on Monday night, and just certainly an incredible journey for Kobe. How will you remember him, Mitch?
Well, one of the great competitors. I mean, look, he came up and, you know, we're still the NBA in a lot of ways, even though we're kind of in the age of LeBron. We're still operating in the shadow of Michael Jordan, and we've had all these players who've come up since Michael Jordan, you know, was playing, since he's been retired now for a while, and we're always looking for the next Jordan. There will never be another Michael Jordan, not for me, but I think the guy who comes close is Kobe Bryant. Competitively, his style, his talent, his popularity, even after he had missteps, obviously, off the court in Colorado. And so one of the great competitors you've seen, a guy who did it at both ends of the floor, and really an iconic player for Laker fans. There is a debate whether, you know, he or Magic are the greatest Lakers. I think Jerry West sides with Kobe. I'm a Magic guy myself in terms of what he did for league, in terms of how Magic, all of his accomplishments. But there's no doubt that Kobe Bryant, if you want to stack up the greatest shooting guards in the history of the game, you know, Michael Jordan leads it, and then probably Kobe's number two. I didn't look. You know, I'm one of these guys, like, they retire two numbers? What's this
right.
all about? For me, he was 24. You know, the number 8 was a guy who was the wingman for Shaquille O'Neal on those teams. And, you know, 24 was the guy who was the leader of the pack when it came to the later years as a Laker and winning a couple titles with Pau Gasol. So I thought 24 was great. 8, okay, seems like a typical kind of Lakers thing. I just hope, there's one hope I have in all this, Alyssa. You know what that is?
What's that?
They don't give him two statues.
Okay.
I think that might be a little excessive. Do you think?
Well, on the front, you could have 8, and on the back, you could have 24. So.
I know. Somebody, when I tweeted that out,
I didn't see that. Okay.
After one statue, yeah, the guy says, "Well, you can put 8 and 24," but this is obviously a great. We all knew this honor was coming. I'm still baffled why the Lakers had the ceremony when they were playing the Warriors. Don't you want to get a team in there we're going to have a tough time drawing against? But no, it was a great. I like the fact that you had not just the Laker greats. Magic Johnson obviously is there as president of the team. Shaq came back. You had Jerry West, but you had guys like Allen Iverson and Bill Russell, from different eras and different teams. And so that was a great night for Lakers.
It was very cool. Hey, Sirius XM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. And as we celebrate Kobe Bryant, do you think, Mitch, today's players, that they have the type of work ethic that Kobe had? I mean, he even talked about that in his, in his speech, as far as, he was midway through his workout at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, there's that famous story where he's going out to a workout, and I think it was Larry Drew, who's been an assistant and a head coach in the NBA, and I think his son was going to go work out with Kobe, and they told Larry Drew, or he talked to Kobe, and Kobe said, "Yeah, the car will be around to get you at 3:30, and the kid said, "In the afternoon?" But no, in the morning, because I start my workout at 5.
Wow.
No, that's a great question. You hope that players do have the drive and the work ethic and the competitive fire. Some do, some don't. That's obvious. A guy like LeBron James, he obviously has that same drive and motivation that we see. That's what separates, when you've got these players, that's what separates these guys. Anybody who's been an iconic player, I don't care who he's been, what sport, they've got to have that work, that Kobe work ethic, that mentality. I'm sure Tom Brady has it. And for what he's done with the New England Patriots over his career, he's probably the greatest quarterback who ever lived. I'm sure the greatest players in baseball now, whether it's Bryce Harper or Trout, guys like that have the work ethic. I mean, you just don't go out there and play occasionally or practice occasionally. This is you're thinking about this and you're doing it 24/7, 365 days a year. So hopefully other NBA players will show that type of work ethic and become legends like Kobe. Let's hope.
Mm-hmm. Hey, when we think about Kobe Bryant, his legacy, who will be his successor or that heir apparent? I mean, what comes to my mind immediately is I think of Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook.
Are you talking about in terms of accomplishments? Because, right now we've got LeBron James LeBron James has to be considered one of the top, 10 players of all time. Different player than Kobe, obviously, plays the game differently. Really looks to set people up, whereas Kobe was the scorer and the assassin and all that. Westbrook is a guy who's interesting because he's the reigning MVP, but Westbrook, it's hard to, what's going on in Oklahoma City this year with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony? It's like he's hard to play with. Now, you can argue sometimes Kobe was too, I guess, because Kobe had to be the show. But when I look at the players of this era and other eras who are the transformational stars, the people who are not just the way they play, but the popularity, for me, it's LeBron James. Because LeBron James, obviously, everybody knows him, where he's worldwide, he's world renowned. I mean, when Kobe was playing, and even now, Kobe in Asia, there's nobody bigger. So I think it's really more of a LeBron James comparison than anything else. I mean, you don't get much bigger than those two, Kobe Bryant and LeBron James.
Our NBA conversation continues after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Happy holidays. We are so glad you are along with us. Be sure and join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And right now, we're going to rejoin Mitch Lawrence from Sirius XM NBA Radio. Okay, since we are talking about Russell Westbrook as well, how surprised are you just where they are in the Western Conference when we talk about Oklahoma City? Because so many folks thought, coming into the season that they would be a top three team.
Yeah, I was one of those people. I still like Golden State, Houston, and the Spurs above them. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe the day before, I thought, like a lot of people, they would come together. But sooner. But here's the deal. I mean, you've got three ball-dominant players who all play isolation ball. And that's going to be very, very tough to fit. You look at the body language on Sunday's Carmelo Anthony or Paul George, it's very hard to play with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, doesn't do the greatest job in the world. Ask Kevin Durant about incorporating superstars in with Russell Westbrook. It's hard to do. So I think we're all surprised, obviously. You know, until they just won the other day to go over 500, they hadn't been over 500 since Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been floating under the 500 mark. Defensively, they've been very good. Offensively, it has been a train wreck, and that's because they don't make the extra pass. They don't get defenses moving. They don't move the ball around the ball. Everybody stands and watches one of the players do his thing, and that makes it easier, obviously, for the defense to stop those. You know, the defense has a hard time when they're playing Golden State, and that ball's moving around and forcing defenses and players to move and rotate and switch, and the same thing we see with Houston. When you're playing Oklahoma City, there are a lot of teams that feel like, hey, they're easy to guard because you don't have that type of ball movement, and it doesn't put the pressure on your defensive players to make decisions and be coordinated.
Hey, Sirius XM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence has been with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Give me a quick hit, 30 seconds. How about those Dallas Mavericks? Big win against the Pistons and the return of Dennis Smith Jr. What does this mean?
Well, it's important for Dennis Smith Jr. to continue to develop and avoid injuries, such as injuries early here in his career. But it's a huge deal. Obviously, here in New York, we're looking at Dennis Smith Jr. because the Knicks could have drafted him.
That's right.
Instead of taking Frank Ntilikina. And that was Phil Jackson's last move. So we just hope, just for everybody's sake, that these guys can avoid injuries. Although, as you know, Dennis Smith Jr. has had knee problems since high school. So we're going to see how that plays out. But the Mavericks are going to try to build around him and Harrison Barnes in the future. And we'll see if that works.
Mm-hmm. SiriusXM NBA Radio. Check him out. That is Mitch Lawrence. Also, Sporting News and Forbes.com. Thanks, Mitch, for joining us. And Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Same to you. Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.